Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We are two dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
What are we drinking today, Dan?
Well, I am drinking Rip It Energy. It's very American. American flags all over this thing. Actually, the silhouette of a soldier there, if you can see. I believe these are 99 cents at most gas stations.
You betcha. That's the twist today. We stand against Colin Kaepernick somehow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no, never.
Yeah.
Never gonna happen.
No. But what do you got?
I have, Arizona's, very sugary Grape-Aide.
Super sugary.
Super
that's
sugary.
Three servings with my dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot.
Let me tell you something.
What?
Tastes delicious.
I know a lot about Alex Jones.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
There we go.
That's it.
So, Jordan, it's good to be back together. That's why I played Wu-Tang's Reunited right before the show.
I know. I heard it. I was there.
We got some big business to go over today. We got some interesting breaks in the world. Alex has some real stupid things he says.
Of course.
But also he made what I'm going to call a critical error. He made a very big fuck up, and I am going to lay out exactly what he did wrong.
All righty, sounds good.
Actually, he made two really big fuck ups.
Oh, shit.
And one is much more important than the other.
Like Schwarber when he dropped that ball in left field and then kicked it into the... Wait, what?
Come on with your Cubs shit.
Sorry.
I would like to get your mind off the Cubs and how they're losing right now.
They are losing right now, as we speak.
And I will do that with an out-of-context drop from Alex Jones.
Fine!
Be great.
I renounce Jesus Christ.
Come on, you gotta.
I'm sorry. I just can't deal with fine. And then a long ass pause without being like, yeah, that's an excellent out of context drop.
From the top.
Okay.
Fine. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Oh boy.
There you go. There you go.
So that one's just for me. That one's very out of context. But so Alex, today, we're going over, on this episode, we're going to be going over the October 19th episode of the Alex Jones program, with a couple of, pieces of evidence from other days, to use as a comparison. Today's show, I want to say one thing. He's really pushing really hard about his show for tomorrow, for Friday.
All right. Well, that's not great.
He has some guests who are exposing, pedophiles in Hollywood. And they may or may not have made a documentary that has nothing to do with Sawman Sawyer. But
disappointing.
The way Alex is ramping it up, I'm pretty sure he is about to get sued. Like, he is working himself into a PR stunt lawsuit.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's going to say something he shouldn't in this interview. And
of course.
He's like, oh, man, Jerry Bruckheimer is going to sue the shit out of you,
Alex. Oh, of course.
Something like that is going to happen. I smell it.
Either that or the entire religion of Scientology is going to come down on him hard.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't that be a wild turn of events?
Yeah. I don't know who I'm rooting for in that situation.
I hate you both. I hope you destroy each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope the courtroom accidentally lights on fire.
Yeah. So a lot of this episode is him pimping tomorrow's show.
Uh-huh.
There's a good bit of that. We don't really have any of that retained in here. But we do have a return appearance from Rainbow Snatch herself.
Oh,
Millie Weaver.
Now I'm excited.
Millie
as Rainbow Snatch or just
no,
as Millie
herself.
Weaver? Do you think they're ever going to do Rainbow Snatch again?
I don't think so.
I think they got enough feedback on that where they're like, ooh, this is bad. Neither of us have improv training.
The reviews in the trade papers were scathing.
Ooh,
not good.
Hollywood Reporter did not give it two thumbs up.
The opposite of Hamilton was Rainbow Snatch. Her appearance. So let's start off the show how Alex starts off. This is some nonsense.
Fine!
It's the broadcasts that I know are particularly historical and important where I really attempt before we go live to just calm down and slow down.
He's got
before I turn into the Tasmanian devil from Texas. Because
the Texmanian devil.
Anybody that's been listening for even a decade or 20
that's
years knows
time.
I can be very negative. But people also know that I'm not going to tell you that we're winning if we're not winning. I'm not going to tell you that we're having spectacular victories by the day against the globalists unless it's really happening.
From
Now, that said, I got a really good feeling, and I got a really bad feeling. Best of times, worst of times. The world's a paradox. Because the globalists are going to strike back, and they're going to strike back hard, and they've been striking back.
They have.
But nevertheless, they are being routed. And I'm going to tell you who is the main icebreaker.
You know who it
going
is?
Going through their lies. His name is Donald John Trump.
Oh,
he's from New York City.
Nope.
He seems like a good icebreaker at a party.
Oh, he'd be the best.
Yeah.
And I just love the fact that the globalists took over one of the most American cities, pure Americana, and turned it into a globalist command base. But that's the way God works. That is city of corrupt globalism is now being retaken. Out of that Babylon comes.
Could have said Sodom, Gomorrah.
Nah. A great man of change and courage who is the catalyst for devastating victories right now. I mean, Trump is leveling the playing field. He is doing two-way streets with China. He's taking care of American workers, our veterans. It's incredible.
Do you mean
but everything Trump's strong on, they try to make his weakness. That's why he tries to get charities to give $25,000 to $50,000 to every veteran that's killed in combat, every active duty soldier.
You mean he
sailor,
promises?
Marine, member of the Air Force. And that's why he tries to personally visit them or give them multiple phone calls. And because that's one of his big strengths,
un-fucking-real.
That he personally gives money or gets a charity to give money.
Directly.
They make it his weakness. That's what this whole scandal
like,
is with the few dead soldiers that happen to have Democrat Party mothers.
See, that's the problem.
That's
the problem. You're listening to these soldiers that have Democrat Party mothers.
Fucking fuck. Fuck this shit. Fuck this shit. I can't believe. How does he go? One, multiple is wildly off.
You are not ready for the rest of this show.
I'm not ready for this shit.
This is clip
that's
one.
Directly. The stories that he's referencing are the fact that he called one soldier and was a complete dick to them by all reports.
Yeah, and promised
how
the dad.
Multiple people were there. Promised $25,000 to them, never paid it.
Nope.
All of this shit, he's like, no, those are his strengths.
Right.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, he makes great deals, and that's why people make fun of all the bad deals he's made.
Right. Because he's made zero great deals, and he's tried to destroy every...
What you don't understand is you gotta get into the headspace of an Alex Jones right about now. And that is, you may not be aware of this. Sean Hannity has been pimping real hard how he's got documents and he's got a big scoop about Hillary. And it's mostly this uranium stuff.
Of course.
It's mostly that. There's a new twist in it that it turns out that the FBI was doing an investigation concurrently, but not about Hillary. It was about a trucking firm that had was getting no bid contracts and had been basically compromised by Russians.
Yeah.
So they were investigating that, and Alex is turning it into a thing where they're connected, and it's all of it leads to Hillary.
Of course, yeah.
But
these guys are really pathetic.
Alex is super bitter and petty about the fact that Sean Hannity is getting a lot of attention about it.
Uh-huh.
And so he is like, he's in this place where he's like, no one's paying attention to me. He's struggling with it. And at the same time, because of all this, like, all of this stuff amounts to a hill of beans. But he's got to use it as an excuse for why there are questions about Trump and Russia. He has to use this as a way to deflect from the Russia investigation about Trump that has much more real things involved in it.
Once again,
so our
president committed treason.
Well,
anyways.
But see, the thing is, what he's doing is using this weak shit in order to deflect from the other shit that's coming at him.
Right.
In the same way that he flips a lie to deflect from the truth of these attacks that you were screaming about Trump.
Okay.
He's
so
in that mode. He's in that mode hard right now.
So it's more like he is straight up lying about this.
Yes.
So people, it's like a sleight of hand thing.
Yes.
Where he straight up lies about this to the point where you have to be like, you're lying, so that you don't look over at all the shit that he's not talking about.
Right.
So rather than, no, that's smart.
Yeah.
I mean, it's evil and stupid.
Yeah.
But it is tactically a smart idea.
Yeah, I mean,
I will accept that.
A lot of that is what we come down to over and over again, is just that what he is a running distraction. He's running, he's the red flag to...
Yeah.
But,
So which, as if we needed distraction. Everything is fucking bananas.
Yeah. So let's jump into this. He gets into the Hannity-related Russia stuff pretty early. And so let's jump into it. This first clip is about Mueller. And at the end, he ends up basically accusing all Democrats of working for Russia.
That sounds right.
I knew that Robert Mueller had delivered uranium in 2015 to the Russians illegally for Hillary. I knew that they had gotten hundreds of millions of dollars into companies that Robert Mueller is on the board of.
Real quick, just about that, because some people may not know what the details of that situation were. Robert Mueller delivered a sample of highly enriched uranium confiscated from smugglers in the country of Georgia to Russian authorities for forensic examination back in 2009.
Right.
He did so at the request of the Russian government and with the blessing of American law enforcement.
Okay.
So he did do it, but there's nothing suspicious
right,
about
right,
it.
Right, right. So Alex is saying, see, what confused me was Alex said, I knew about it in 2015.
Right.
And I was like, he did it in 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he wasn't the fucking FBI director in 2015.
No. But yeah, so he did that in 2009. It's nothing, nothing spooky, nothing nefarious at all.
Right.
It's all just, it, like you said, weak shit, weak tea nonsense.
Right.
And that Mueller has worked for via his law firm. I knew that Comey was his minion. I knew that Mueller basically is still the head of the FBI to a great extent and put major stay-behind sure. networks in management positions who were basically part of the Clinton Foundation crime machine.
Mm-hmm.
And we had guest after guest
the CFCM
on covering all of that information.
Liars.
But yeah. Now to see it in the
Larry
House
Nichols.
And Senate
exactly.
Judiciary Committees, to now see the Attorney General say Hillary's being criminally investigated, to now see lawyer for FBI operatives and FBI informants who were in Russia and in Europe and in D.C. and in New York witnessing the Democrats with photos and documents and videos of them sitting around, you know, like all the famous FBI videos you've seen where it's in the briefcase and they're sitting around doing arms deals. Same thing.
Huge.
High level Democrats on
the
video. That's the big breaking news on Infowars.com right now from Dr. Corsi.
I tried to find this article. I can't find it. I don't know what he's talking about. I tried to look for it. It's nowhere.
Well, probably because it's not just untrue for their standards.
Right.
But also legally actionable.
Well, it's
if it was written, that is almost certainly something that you can sue for libel.
I would assume so, especially if you somehow doctor briefcase footage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I have to reserve judgment until I can find this mysterious article. I did go to InfoWars though, and I want to give you a little bit of a glimpse into what's hot news over there today. They have the top stories bar over on the side.
Uh-huh.
Number one top story, saber-toothed cats mingled with modern humans. big news.
Okay.
Now you think, because it's
okay.
InfoWars, you think that means that their genes were spliced.
That's exactly what I think is going on.
No.
So what they're saying is about 30,000 years ago, saber-toothed tigers were just hanging out with people?
Yeah, it's a link to a National Geographic article.
Okay.
And then in the top stories bar, we have a total of seven stories, and two of them are about things that Putin has said, public statements that he's made, just reinforcing Putin's narratives about the world.
Of course.
If U.S. develops new nuclear weapons, Russia will too. And the other one is Putin says Hillary is behind Russian collusion hysteria and elites disrespect Trump voters.
Ah. That sounds right.
Interesting.
That sounds right.
Yeah, but
maybe it's not that Trump voters have zero respect and we should not respect them.
Right.
They are deserving of no respect.
Well, especially the ones who are into InfoWars. Like, I mean, if there is a subsection of Trump voters who don't like Alex, I'd be interested in meeting them.
Yeah.
Because then I'd give them a chance.
Right.
So I told you before the show that I think I'd stumbled into something big.
Yeah.
Also, that hand gesture tells me you had something.
I was just thinking about his angle on this, and apparently the new angle that the GOP is going to go for is instead of ignoring the Russia thing and saying that there's no story, so we're not going to comment on it, they realize now that's not going to stop happening.
No.
So what they're going to do then is deflect towards being, towards name calling, being like, oh, you say we're Russian operatives? You're the Russian operative.
Right.
So that is, so to me, what's going on right now is clearly everybody knows Trump committed treason.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to deal with it because that would be fucking, what would happen?
It's a big mess to clean
up. We would have to, first of all, hang Trump. By the neck until dead, on the National Square from the Washington Monument.
I think that's on paper somewhere.
That's my advice. I think that's the law.
Right.
Then we'd have to go after Sessions. Sessions was there.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go after Flynn.
Manafort.
Well, those guys are already going down for sure.
Most likely.
There's no repercussions for taking those guys down.
And then, quite frankly, Alex.
And then Mike Pence for sure.
Mike Pence.
He's got to die.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he'll be one outed as being secretly gay first.
Come on now. Don't disparage the gays like that.
That's a good point.
That game. I don't like that game. That hey, this monstrous person is secretly gay, just because he probably is.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's a lot of the most virulent anti-gay people eventually are like, yeah, well, it's because I'm gay.
I get that, but I think that that's thrown around as like a negative sometimes. And I know you weren't doing that, but I was just maybe I'm being oversensitive.
Yeah.
Be that as it may.
I mean, if you're a virulent homophobe that wants to have sex with men. While at the same time taking away your own rights to do so.
Your own hypothetical rights.
I feel like you lose a lot of, you know, like negative aspects to you.
Sure. So.
Yes. Now we can get back to that.
This is important.
Yeah.
I believe that on our episode that we put out, today, on Thursday.
Right.
We discussed how by looking back at December of 2015, we were able to fairly accurately depict and determine that Steve Pachenik and Roger Stone were working together to manipulate Alex to join Team Trump.
Absolutely.
And there was a concerted effort going on at that point.
They colluded to do so.
Now, I want to build on that a little bit in these next two clips, because I think Alex accidentally said something over the last 3 days that he might regret. He might regret because I think he fucked up the timeline. Because he's getting really jealous about Sean Hannity's attention.
Right.
And he's speaking a little bit too extemporaneously. He's being a little bit too loose.
As is his wont.
Yes. So here is the first clip. This is from the Wednesday show. Or I'm sorry, the Tuesday show from the 17th of this week in 2017. And this is him... expressing a bit of pettiness about the fact that, you know, he's not getting enough credit for the Russia stories and what have you. But keep in mind that pay attention closely to some of the details about timeline in here, because they are very important.
Okay.
Now let's get to the rest of the story on Russiagate. And the reason I'm going to be clear about who really broke this first and where is
petty.
Not about credit.
Yes,
it's about understanding the media cover-up and why Hillary and others went after Trump for what they themselves had done. Here's the article up on Infowars.com. TikTok, huge story on Hillary, Russia, set to drop tonight. Hannity teases bombshell expose. I want to be clear. Hannity is a lot of great in investigative journalism, has the ear of the president like no one else in media.
That's probably true.
Does a great job, has a lot of courage. I don't want to sit here and say this is not new news to put Hannity down. Everybody should watch tonight. Again, I hope 300 million people tune in. Instead of his customary 4 or 5 million, that's the record show on cable. But we broke this with Roger Stone early 2016, we hammered it. We did hundreds of shows, hundreds of articles, to where I was asking Roger to stop writing articles about it. I said, I know the Russia thing's bull, but why are we obsessing on it?
So, in that clip, there's a lot of nonsense trying to cuck out the audience size of Sean Hannity.
4 or 5 million is a regular audience.
But Alex fucked up. He's saying that Hillary Clinton And all of these people started accusing Trump of colluding with Russia because secretly they knew they were guilty of it, so they were trying to get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm.
He fucked up because he said in January, or he, in the next clip he says January, but at the beginning of 2016, me and Roger Stone started pushing this really hard, the idea of Hillary colluding with Russia.
Uh-huh.
What was happening in the world at the beginning of 2016? Do you remember?
Dude, at this point, I can't fucking handle the barrage of bullshit, so I don't remember much.
In October of 2015, Trump, yeah. In October 28th of 2015, Trump signed that letter of intent to build the Moscow Trump Tower.
Yes.
So that was at the end of 2015. At that point, also, Flynn, in December of 2015, gave that speech in Moscow at the RT convention where he sat with Putin and Jill Stein and some other folks. Also, at that point, he was working for Erdogan. So
yeah,
we get to January of 2016. Flynn isn't even an advisor formally for Trump at this point.
Right.
Manafort isn't even his campaign manager yet in January of 2016. The hacks hadn't even happened.
DNC hacks didn't happen until what?
Like
August?
At least. Yeah. Paul Manafort became the campaign manager in March. March 29th, he was announced as the campaign convention manager. April 27th was when he gave that meeting at the Mayflower Hotel, that speech that Kislyak was at when he met with all the people.
Right, right, right.
That didn't come out until much later. June 3rd is when Donald Trump Jr. had that meeting with the Russian lawyer that got set up. Or I'm sorry, that was a little bit later in June or what have you.
Yeah,
June,
how is he not in jail yet?
June 14th is when the Washington Post reported that hackers had gained access to the DNC servers.
Yeah.
So that had not even happened at that point.
So what you're saying is they were trying to get out in front of the Russia story because they knew it was already happening.
And Alex, in complaining about what he's accusing Hillary of, has given away his own tactics.
Right.
He has revealed that, like, oh, of course you would accuse the other person of doing the thing you're doing in order to, you know, deflect
get out
from
in front
what
of
you're
the
doing.
Story. Yeah, yeah.
That implies to me heavily that he knows and Roger Stone knows that that's what they were doing because.
And when did he say that he was debriefed by Russian intelligence?
That was earlier.
That was 2015. December 2015.
I think it was November.
Well, whatever.
November, December.
The point being, though,
but he doesn't have he doesn't have a date on when it happened, though.
Right.
He just admitted to it.
That's true.
It could have been years before.
That's possible.
June 22nd of 2016 is when WikiLeaks released the DNC emails.
Right.
When people started to get like, oh boy. July 25th, later that week, is when the FBI confirmed that they were having an investigation into it. And at that point, Trump tweeted that the joke in town is that Russia did it. That's when people started to be like, oh boy. He gives a press conference and claims he's never spoken to Putin, even though in 2013
even though
he
we
said they have a
know.
Great relationship.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just goes on from there. August 8th of 2016 is when Roger Stone publicly admitted that he had communicated, whether it was through a back channel or whatever, with Julian Assange. A little bit later, August 21st is when Stone said, trust me, Podesta's time will soon be in the barrel. It will come soon. In October, Stone is tweeting that he has, you know, on Wednesday, Hillary is done. Hashtag WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
So, like, all this stuff that made people concerned and when the Russia talk was really bubbling up was not the beginning of 2016.
No, it was right near the actual fucking vote.
Or at least towards the middle.
Yeah.
You know, it was towards the late summer at best.
Right.
Is when a lot of those concerns started to come to the forefront. And the fact that Alex Jones is saying we were writing copious articles about them, in January at the beginning of 2016 to the point where he's like, Roger, why are we talking about this so much? It implies to me that Roger had a game plan.
Right.
And Alex was not entirely clear what it is.
Right.
But now he knows. And he subconsciously let it slip.
I don't necessarily think that he didn't know I don't think he at all said to Roger, why are we writing about this so
probably
much?
Not.
I think that was just him, you know, being like, look at how many articles we wrote that I have to pretend
you're
that,
right.
Yeah.
You're right.
That
That's
thing.
More the pettiness.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, yeah.
more him being like, you know, hey, we wrote about this all the time. Fuck
yeah.
you, Hannity.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have 3 million people.
Exactly.
We have 50 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So here's the next clip, and this one's a little bit long, but it's worth it for what happens at the end. And it confirms that what he's talking about is straight up January,
yeah.
not just the beginning of the year. Because if you say the beginning of the year, you could say March, but even in March, there wasn't.
Yeah, no.
So.
And now you know why. Starting last January, Roger Stone was doing, no exaggeration, because he was coming visiting us here. He would do 15, 20 interviews a day. You couldn't go to dinner with him. He'd duck out, do 10-minute interviews out in the parking lot of a steakhouse. Then he'd take a call from the president candidate at the time. And it was pretty amazing. Here, talk to Trump. But what's incredible is...
So there, he even makes it clear. I mean,
he already
clarified that he's talking about 2016.
Right,
but
right.
In the context of this clip, he could be saying January of 2017, but he said candidate... He wasn't a candidate in 2017.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
January.
Not.
So he's obviously talking about January of 2016.
Right.
His timeline doesn't make sense.
And if Stone has a very, if Stone is talking to Trump all the time in January of 2016, while on this whole Russia narrative,
yep.
Stone obviously knows something.
And he's
Stone
obviously
is
working.
Obviously part of that whole thing. He's
yes.
working directly for Putin at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fucked.
Is that's when they went, Roger Stone's a Russian agent. Even though in the 80s, Russians tried to contact him about secrets, and he helped the FBI round up a bunch of Russians and U.S. citizens who were indicted and convicted. Roger Stone came up under Nixon, the famous anti-communist, and the Red Scare, and Senator McCarthy. Roger Stone was around way back then.
So...
Stone was on his bullshit from the beginning.
One of the other important things to pull out of that piece is that this is not back then. Vladimir Putin is a different sort of leader.
Can't.
They are not entirely a communist country anymore.
Same thing. Same thing.
No, it's
in
not.
In the 60s, Russia has stayed exactly the same since the 60s. Everybody
right.
knows this.
Yeah.
It's been the exact same thing the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely not that... Russia has turned into a giant billionaire kleptocracy.
Right.
That Stone being on the outs of American politics
uh-huh.
after all of his time being so close to power has finally decided like, well, fuck it. If you guys aren't going to give me money and power, I'm going to get it from this dude over here.
You make a compelling, argument. I was just going to say that maybe he was against the people who came before Putin, and now he kind of likes this strong guy.
No, I think it's absolutely he felt neglected, and they gave him the chance to feel powerful again, and he's really addicted to power, influence, and attention.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's what Stone is. He's a fucking bullshitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyway.
He's been doing this since he was 18 years old. The opposite of a communist. So what do you do when an old red hunter... is on your Democratic Party butt.
What do you do?
What do you do when a red hunter is on your tail? The bane of the Democratic Party since 1917. The Republicans have been on them for working with communists and working with the Russians. What are you going to do?
Red Dawn?
When people like Vice President Richard Nixon are on your tail. And don't forget, he was the vice president for Eisenhower. Then came back, became president. What are you going to do? When Nixon's later best friend, Roger Stone, the red hunter, is on your butt. Roger Stone's a red! Everybody's a red! Remember when they started saying on television to Tucker Carlson when he doubted the official fake story about Russiagate?
No.
They said to Tucker Carlson, you better watch it. You're working for the Kremlin. You're on his payroll.
No.
And of course, if you know anything about Tucker Carlson's blue blood East Coast family,
the
Patriots,
boat,
his dad was the head of Voice of America. You don't just think he was in the CIA, do you? And the rest of his family And Tucker Carlson said, you better watch it right there. And that's why they started saying, I'm a Russian agent. And members, remember Rand Paul? We ought to get all these clips together. Rand Paul, McCain said, on the floor of the Senate is a Russian agent being paid by Vladimir Putin. Total defamation.
Is that a
total
ghost
slander.
Rand Paul?
Yeah, he did vibrate
Rand
a little bit.
Rand Paul!
He was trying to summon him to studio.
Yeah.
but, I mean, as, if anyone has forgotten, the reason that John McCain made that comment is because Rand Paul voted, was the, I think he was the only person who voted against Montenegro being accepted into the EU.
Really?
Is that right? Yeah, I believe so.
Did not know that.
Yeah, he was blocking the vote or whatever for Montenegro to be allowed in. And that was something that Putin was very strongly in favor of, and the rest of the world was they wanted them to be accepted in. And that's why he didn't say that he's working for Putin. He said he's effectively an agent of Putin at this point.
Yeah.
And Alex is misrepresenting that too, as he's doing all
as opposed to being literally an agent of Putin at this point, which is what Alex Jones has been for the past 2 years.
It appears.
Total desperate libel. And if you wonder why they're so desperate, ladies and gentlemen, it's because John McCain, it turned out, was involved with banks on the Russian payroll. And it turns out Hillary and both Podesta brothers and a bunch of the Democratic Party and Dr. Jerome Corsi's article on InfoWars.com were in banks. And in brokerage firms and in energy companies and in military companies. And Hillary was the head of the State Department for most of those 8 years. And she was transferring everything out of the country because she could sign waivers and claim it was legal, but she kept it secret.
Like what Trump is doing.
And that's why they are in total and complete panic mode in D.C. right now. And that's why they have the whole media brand Trump and the Republicans and all of the rest of the resistance as Russian agents, because it's just like in an old spy movie. When you catch one spy, they go, no, they're the spies. It's them. It's them.
Sounds familiar.
With no proof. But then when Roger started exposing it and was going to testify, he got shot in the back with a polonium dart, little gelatin darts that dissolve. But it deflected. It cut his back real bad in his backyard. It hit him in his backyard and got real sick. 2 days later, they tested it was polonium. And then a few weeks later, he's going to testify.
Which he
T-bone would not
have been
his
able
car
to do if he had been
poisoned. And almost
by polonium.
Kill him. And in some armored vehicle, you know, races off because they wanted to say it was all Roger Stone so that a dead man couldn't resist them and a dead man couldn't speak out. So let me tell you something. They've been failing on every front. When we come back, we're going to play these clips.
I mean, that's true.
Where the lawyers for the informants and the rest of it are getting ready to testify to Congress, and they are in full panic mode. Please remember to support the broadcast. We have a bunch of specials that are about to end. Brain Force.
Love it.
God damn it.
That's a great story. I mean, it's a good story. It doesn't match up.
If anybody was going to kill Roger Stone to keep him silent, it would be the Russians.
Well, there's
and
that.
If they were going to kill him, they would probably use something like polonium.
Which Putin has used in the past.
Exactly.
But the thing is, like,
although I would say that would, actually, they wouldn't use polonium because then it would be too obvious.
It's a calling card.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
It's very dumb.
And quite.
And also, he didn't get poisoned by polonium.
It would be a public crisis if he did.
Just like Larry Nichols did not run guns in Nicaragua.
No.
You can make up that story, but it's not true.
The only person who's going to believe you is Alex. And then when Alex starts screaming about it, his listeners are going to believe it.
Yeah.
And then you get into, like, you've crafted just a false reality for them to live in. And it's fun. It's fucking fun.
That's where they live.
It's really fun, I imagine. Like, I would love it if I could believe this shit.
Yeah, no, it's one of the things that they, so it's really just, I have to believe that it is all of them having a subconscious or unconscious realization that they voted for the dumbest, worst president in the history of the United States.
It's possible.
And so were they to accept that, then they would have to realize, because the dumbest, worst president in history embodies a lot of Republican values, if not all of them. So if you admit that you voted for the guy who embodies all of your values and he's the dumbest, worst president,
mm-hmm.
maybe you're the dumbest, worst person.
And you're not even president.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you are fucking yourself over, and they just can't do that. Like, that destroys your entire worldview.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden you realize that finally, the type of Republican that I want is in the White House,
mm-hmm.
and it turns out that is very, very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to reevaluate yourself, and most people, if not all people, have such a hard time doing that that
it's very
they'll retreat into a fantasy
world.
It's
very difficult to just be like, ah, man, we were wrong.
Yeah.
But you should.
Especially if you've lived your whole life by that.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Finally, you get the chance to figure out what it would be like if mm-hmm. you were in power, and the answer is everyone's going to die.
It's not a great outcome.
It's not a great outcome. I don't think that would be something that warms your heart in the middle of the night. So instead, you make up a narrative of, you know, everything that it's very simple. Like, what they're doing is they're just projecting all of their hatred for Trump onto Hillary or whomever.
Yeah.
All of the things that they hate that Trump is doing, just like what Alex is doing right now, everything he hates about Trump, he is just moving over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like a game of
move it on
guess
over.
Guess who?
Oh, boy.
Move it on over.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, you kind of have to.
Yeah, of course.
That's how you retain the idea that you're the good guy mm-hmm. when you're not. So anyway, let's get to this next clip. Because in that last one, he had some like clear lies that Roger Stone told him about Roger himself.
Right, right.
Like, and Alex just believes it because it's like, oh, yeah, my hero guy.
Right.
He's great. And in this next clip, we learn a little bit about a guy named Tosh Plumlee, who's another whistleblower that Alex has on. And Alex,
he's actually Tosh 2.1.
2. Plumlee.
Yeah.
he has some details here that I think aren't true.
Okay.
Let's just see what your sense of it is.
Hillary, as Secretary of State, had the power to sign secret orders circumventing federal law because of the previous law that you
Which
could
law?
Ship prohibited weapons or materials
Tosh's
to states
law.
Where it was prohibited or to groups where it was prohibited if she signed the letters. So you would give money as a terrorist group or a foreign government or a corporation to the Clinton
None
Foundation. We have the emails. Then they would then usually
None of them
a few
say
days.
That, but we have them.
Usually it was about $1 million or more. Just to meet with Hillary was a couple hundred thousand.
She doesn't get out of
Or to have her be given yeah. your email or that request.
That's actually
So
true.
First you give a couple hundred thousand just to have her agree to talk to you. Then you give $1 million asking for what you want, and almost always you got it. Didn't matter if it was anti-tank missiles, anti-aircraft missiles. Didn't matter what it was. And if you paid enough, they would have it. Then the orders of the State Department, which controls the Pentagon to a great extent, and the CIA, they would then deliver that to you on a C-130. And Tosh Plumlee took parts in those flights, and he risked his life to tell you. Now, he only knew part of it. Very, very famous, by the way. He was in the Bay of Pigs, but before that, he was flying arms to Fidel Castro. This is in congressional hearings. He was in the Frank Church Committee. He was in the Iran-Contra Committee. You say, well, how was he still in the CIA? Well, there's dark hats and white hats. And
sure.
because he's
sure.
a whistleblower, he was protected. And
Usually
until
black hat and white hat.
3 years
well,
ago,
just
still
go with
flying
dark.
Flights. I mean, he used to come on the show leading groups of C-130s as the head, you know, as Commodore of the skies, 15 C-130s lined up behind him, about to fly to wherever. And he'd say, hold on, Alex, I got to tell him to wait 10 minutes. I'm turning the engines off. I got my time zones. And then, oh, I got 15 minutes for you. I mean, there's interviews where he's on the tarmac flying whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then he should
and then
really
on the air
focus
saying,
on
we're flying.
Flying.
High impact kinetic weapons to the jihadis, and nobody likes it. I'm not going to say I'm doing it, but I've done it. I'm on board an aircraft right now, and we're really pissed about this, Alex. And I don't care if they kill me, I'm going to tell you. We need him on now. I only say that because that busy producers are great, but I've kind of lately been running around saying Tosh Plumlee, because let me tell you, he is the one that broke it all, and we stuck our necks out. And now everything you're hearing about Hillary and exporting things to the State Department and those waivers, that is directly from the CIA and the patriots in the CIA to Tosh Plumlee. They said, you're willing to get killed, you go ahead and you do it.
Right.
But that is, I'm so proud of the fact he's a Texan. So there you go. Now, briefly, we're ending specials in the next few days.
Oh, boy.
God damn it, Dan. man.
He's on a sales tear on this episode.
You love it.
It's so great.
That's so fantastic.
So that story.
God damn it, am I proud he's a Texan. We're going to be ending specials here pretty soon, guys. And, Jesus, dude.
It can't be true. A guy who's running guns, it takes a little bit of time. He's running heavy munitions, high kinetic weapons, to jihadis. Takes a little time out to call Alex Jones. Ring-a-ling. Oh, hey, I'm selling terrorist weapons.
While he's on the tarmac.
Yeah.
The engine's running. Right. He's about to fly. Look.
Let me power this baby down.
If I can't text and drive, you should not be allowed to call Alex Jones and fly. I think that's just a fact.
It makes me think of all the, like, if you ever listen to Coast AM, they have a lot of callers who are like, there's a ghost in my house, or stuff like that. Or like, there was a famous call with Art Bell where this guy was like, I'm going to fly into Area 51. And he faked, like, the call going out.
Right.
There's those, like, hoaxes and stuff that happen like that. And Tosh Plumlee is clearly doing some of that shit to Alex.
Yeah.
Like, he's, or just embellishment.
Or he's just a fucking lunatic. Yeah.
Right.
Like his, Alex's description of him saying is like, we run guns to the jihadis. I'm not going to say I'm doing it. I've done it. And I'm right now doing it.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
Do you hear
like,
that engine?
What are you fucking doing? Yeah.
Tosh, that sounds like your mouth. Nope. Specialized engine. Specialized white hat CIA engine.
It's a C-130. We're white hats or dark hats.
Eesh. So in this next clip,
I think he was just hungry.
Probably.
He's like, I don't know if I want a breast or a leg. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Give me
here.
A mixed bag.
Give me a hat first.
So in this next clip, Alex reveals that he believes that Donald Trump believes that Russia, our military, and Assad made that deal.
Yes, of course.
He believes that Trump believes that.
Frankly, I buy that.
It's possible.
It's entirely possible that Trump believes all kinds of fanciful things.
True. If that is true.
I mean, if he believes that he actually had a, if he believes that he was good at calling, the widows or the parents of dead fallen soldiers, if he believes that he had a great phone call, he can believe fucking anything. He's a lunatic, malignant, narcissist, psychopath, and he will not, he believes everything he says.
Fair, but listen to this.
Because he's fucking lunatic.
Listen to this.
We're all gonna die.
And our military and good people in the deep state said no to that plan, and 4.5 years ago, General Dempsey went and met with Obama and said, we are not going to have a military strike from the air on Syria. We're going to work with the Russians to contain the civil war and end it. And then Assad will step down after elections in the future when the war is over.
And bomb hospitals.
Now you see Trump putting pressure on Iran, saying, we made a deal with you and the Russians 4.5 years ago. Our military did, bypassing Obama. You're now going to pull out of there. And we're going to have elections and Assad's going to step down. We're going to put sanctions on you, and if you want to attack our troops in Syria, that's what all this really is, we're going to go to war with you. We made a deal with you. The American people and the folks that put Trump in from the good side of the deep state, you're going to follow that agreement. No more backstabbing, no more weasels.
So,
did he just say that the good people from the deep state put Trump in?
That's what he likes to believe.
I feel like he's okay.
But do you know why?
I mean, I don't think that's a good thing.
But you know why he believes all this shit? Lies that Steve Pachenik told him.
Yeah, that's true.
And now he can't talk to Steve Pachenik anymore because he said that Las Vegas attack was fake.
Mm.
He's like, oh, yes, Steve Pachenik. He's saying that Las Vegas
attack. Pachenik went one too far with his bullshit lies.
Alex straight up on his show in response to a caller said it's a very good likelihood that Steve Pachenik is still working for the CIA and is pulling a psyop on InfoWars, which we called a long time ago.
Yeah, of course he did.
He finally gets it because of the Las Vegas is fake thing.
Right.
And like he doesn't sit down to question like, oh, what else has Steve Pachenik told me?
Well, if you're talking about
Robert
that.
Robert David Steele told me about Mars bases. What else has he lied to me about? He doesn't do that second step. It's crazy.
Why would he?
Because it's very important.
But with Las Vegas, he can see that Steve Pachenik is lying.
Right.
With Syria, it's a magic lie. It's a magical thing. Like, hey, our deep state made a extrajudicial deal with right. Russia's deep state right. and, to make and, sure that Assad and, steps down?
And one of the generals came to Obama and said, we did this behind
yeah,
your
exactly.
back, you son of a
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, yeah,
that's called treason.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very clearly like, say whatever you want about our foreign policy. There's a lot of problems. But I do not support generals getting out of the chain of command and making deals with hostile actors.
Probably not good.
That's
for the
so
survival
bad.
Of the Union. I feel like treason at the highest level of the military is not a great way
that's
to go.
That's so bad.
Oh yeah.
I mean, thankfully it's not real, but that's so bad.
Yeah. The weirdest part is that currently Brazil is about to have like their military generals actually are talking about a military coup because Temer is the most corrupt leader in the world right now.
He's pretty bad.
Which is a true accomplishment.
There's a lot. It's a deep bench.
Oh, yeah, man.
There's a lot of incredible. There's a lot of people with warning track power.
Right.
You know?
The Cubs are down by a lot.
Sorry about that.
An insane number. It is one of those things, though, where you could see that being a flashpoint there. If there is a military coup in Brazil, because the president is the single most corrupt president on the planet, and we have, I would say number three.
Because
I would go with Temer, Putin, and then Trump.
I'd put Trump behind Duterte.
Oh, yeah, that's it. No, Duterte isn't corrupt.
He's
a murderer.
People.
Yeah, that's not corruption.
It implies.
No, I'm sure there is some, but I think he's just bloodthirsty.
It implies rank corruption.
Right. But the military's on his team there.
All right.
So I would go, let's see, what rank your favorite
no,
corrupt world
we
leader.
We don't have time.
I just want to like.
I'll sign off on whatever your rankings
all
are.
All right, fine.
But,
I just miss some, I just want some good old bunga bunga parties back.
All right, fine. I don't know what you're getting at.
Oh, you don't remember Berlusconi?
I don't remember. Oh, the like whore parties. And
oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That was the kind of corruption that I can get behind.
That's tasty corruption.
That's just a ultra rich, plutocrat having fun.
Right, right. I mean, it's old, it's quaint.
Yeah.
At this point.
Those were the days.
Yeah. So, I have a long clip here. We can listen to or we can skip. I'm going to give you the option.
Well, we got to do it.
Okay. It's about Alex getting mad at Joe Biden and then losing it in a really gross impression. So,
okay, now I'm in.
Here we go.
When someone would yell at a State of the Union liar.
Real quick, Alex has set up this clip by saying that Joe Biden, in a speech, has indicated that he has a stay-behind network of... you know, treasonous actors within the government.
Of course.
And in this quote, in this clip he's playing, it's Joe Biden telling them, stay, hang tight, guys.
Yeah.
Hang
yeah,
tight,
yeah.
We've got to kill Trump. That sort of thing. And
that's going to be fun at our next State of the Union, which hopefully we'll make it to.
Maybe.
But that Obama did not lie, and yet was called a liar by a fucking idiot.
You lie!
Right? Our Trump, our president now... lies
quite a bit,
constantly.
Quite a bit.
I don't think he's told the truth on anything ever. Like, name one thing he said that's accurate other than my name is President Trump.
He has great words.
Even then, his name isn't president.
No, that's true. It's a title. Anyway, let's get to the clip.
When someone would yell at a State of the Union liar,
liar,
these
liar.
Are basic norms. There's a reason why. We have certain basic social norms.
Hit pause. They've got people shooting
no,
congressmen.
Isn't.
They've got Democratic strategists on TV.
So real quick, he's
saying... We have people shooting congressmen?
Right.
Is that what we do?
He's implying that, like, Joe Biden and those people, like,
they
Democrats...
They conspired to have Scalise shot.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know his narrative with that.
No.
His belief is that the gunman was trying to kill everyone on that field. Because if he killed all of them, it would force...
He would become a duke.
It would, well, yeah, also. It would force a special election, and Democrats could take over the House. But mathematically, it doesn't work.
No.
Because even if all of them were killed and replaced with Democrats, the Republicans would still have a majority.
Yeah.
So it's real dumb.
There we go.
Saying hunt Republicans. They've got Hollywood saying kill Trump. They've got
Phil Mudd, former deputy director of the CIA and deputy director of the FBI, put in by Comey.
He just likes
and Mueller is a Mueller man.
Yeah,
because Mueller, Comey, then Mudd saying we're going to kill the president
didn't
soon.
Say that.
And then you say someone's saying Obamacare doesn't cover illegal aliens when it was in the bill, and the congressman says panels. You lie, yeah. And you sit up there about basic norms. We have basic norms. We're going to sexualize your 3-year-olds and teach him how to be sexually screwed up. Great, and we're going to ship HIV blood all over the country and give that to you and hepatitis.
Love it.
And we're going to tell you 2 + 2 = 5. And we're going to get rid of our sovereignty and treat our veterans like crap and have the VA cut their funding off and have the Thomas computer at IBM decide who gets health care and who doesn't.
This is right. He means to say Watson. He's
Thomas
up.
Watson.
Yeah,
Dr. Thomas Watson.
Yeah, but he's done this rant before, but he's called it the Watson computer.
Yeah.
He's screwing up calling it the Thomas computer.
I like his retroactive hatred of illegal immigrants now.
Right.
Even back then, it's like, wait, it was the death panels he was screaming about, not illegal immigrants. People weren't even talking about illegal immigrants until the presidential candidate decided that that's the only thing that matters.
Right. To be fair, Alex, as always, I went back, I've listened to some old episodes, and he's always had a healthy, unhealthy distrust of immigrants, but be that as it may.
As a death panel, they're now using Thomas computers, the National Health Service in England. And if you were ever a smoker, you don't get any surgery or health care now. Could have been 20 years ago.
I'm fine with that.
If you're a drinker, you don't get any surgery. But Thomas, the little Nazi IBM computer, named after a Nazi, can't make that up, literally. With all this run by a former Nazi collaborator who the ADL gives awards to, you can't make this up.
You are.
And he's going to tell us, back it up. So let's start from the beginning again. He's going to tell us, folks, about norms. Here, I'm going to try to shut up during this. Just everything he says is a lie.
Good fucking luck.
So let's pause here.
He's
How
gonna
long
try...
do you think it's going to take for him to interrupt again?
Well, he sure as fuck doesn't make it all the way to social norms.
Like starting from the jump?
Yeah, starting from the jump.
You think it's going to be that quick?
I think it's going to be that quick.
Let's see.
Let's hear from this lying sack of anti-American parasitic garbage about how we need decorum and lay down all these people bankrupt
right
the country. Here it is.
When someone would yell at a State of the Union liar.
Oh, my gosh.
These are basic norms.
Nailed
There's
it.
A reason why.
Right before
sorry,
basic
we,
norms.
It took me 3.5 hours to get into the inauguration because there were Democrats, it's all on video, beating up men, women, and children outside
Not
and assaulting
video.
Everyone. The next day, they had their George Soros Women's March led by Linda Sorcerer,
co-organized.
The admitted jihadi Islamicist Palestinian activist with half her family in prison in the Middle East for their activity.
Okay, well, Palestinian activists with half their family in prison.
Usually.
Generally, they're on the right side. I'm not saying that I'm anti-Israel, but they are an apartheid state and they're oppressing Palestinians to an insane degree.
And where I paused it, I'm not sure if he'd already said it or not. He's like, they're in prison for their activities.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you saying? What are you saying?
Yeah.
You could all go have your demonstration, couldn't you? But we couldn't go see our president inaugurated because you're a bunch of thugs.
You were
Play
there.
Play the clip about decorum. Here it is.
Norms. They're the arbiter of how we work together.
Oh.
It's the thing that I find the most debilitating about what's going on now is the destruction of these norms, and it's generating chaos. It's generating chaos internally.
You're trying to generate chaos.
I don't want to see the chief of staff quit. I don't want to see the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of State quit.
You're a man.
I don't want all the people who are in our administration who are still there. They call me all the time. I say, please stay. Please stay.
Please, parasites.
There has to be some competence.
We're going to win.
But again, it's not even about the issues. It's about the norms. I'll conclude by saying.
That's enough.
You
again,
don't
basic
say.
That's enough of that piece
job.
Of garbage. He's all nice.
Yeah.
We're being so friendly when we hit people in the head with bike locks and we call for violence and we have our surrogates say all whites are inherently evil and no white day at major colleges. And while we push all this stuff and while we push war and say we're the resistance and say we're going to kill the president and have
Real
all of our minions say
blaming
it.
Blaming other people for pushing war after our last episode when it was like, oh,
if
the
we're,
president is pushing for war.
If we're going to go to a big war with Iran, fine. I'm not scared.
Yeah.
I'm not scared. What a dick.
And then, see, they want us to get calm again, just like Ted Bundy. the serial killer would, you know, just say, it's going to be okay. Just put like the handcuffs on. I'm not going to kill you. Just put the gag on.
Were you there?
As soon as they did that, he'd say, you're so stupid. I'm going to torture you to death for weeks, or I'm going to bite chunks out of your body. You're such a dumb idiot. And then he's just saying, settle down. Just get in the basement. Just put the handcuffs on. He's standing there in a room without a weapon. He says, put the handcuffs on. You're like, yes, master. Let me put the handcuffs on. And Biden's down. Come down here. I'm going to strap you onto this bloody gurney. Never mind the dirty clothes and, you know, that woman hanging on a meat hook right there. And just be normal. Talk like I talk. Be politically correct. Submit. Be passive. Because I'm going to hurt you politically bad. I'm going to do the equivalent of torture you for 6 months and rip your teeth out with pliers. And I'm going to tell you how great it is while I do it. These are the monstrous pig demons we're dealing with. And we see them. We're awake. We're not going back to sleep, jerk. Now, remember, folks, when you spread the articles, the videos, the links to newswars.com.
God damn it, Dan! Come on! Jesus!
Isn't that great?
You fucking piece of shit.
It's my favorite thing in the world. Oh, yeah. Get in the basement.
He has a weird, twisted torture sex fantasy.
Where he's growling. And then he's grunting.
He's so gross.
Put on the handcuffs.
So gross.
Very in
That's
detail,
a dream of his.
Very in
That is a dream of his.
Yep. Oh, and remember, please share our article.
Yeah, I know. Like, Jesus. Fucking Christ, is that gross.
Yeah, very gross. So
play it again.
Don't worry. There's more.
Jesus.
So, I mean, I don't need to really unpack, machine gun of, misrepresentations and lies on his part. And I think what Biden is saying is reasonable. So
it's weird to hear, like, of course he has to interrupt him so much because if you just let Biden's words play, even Alex Jones listeners are going to be like, fuck, he sounds reasonable.
Yeah, it seems like everybody that Trump keeps appointing keeps getting fired.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like a lot of them don't know how to do their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Biden's on to something.
Yeah.
They would never have that thought because they think that everyone's getting fired because they're getting jammed up for fake Russia ties.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they would think that Biden is, I'm not saying that they want Biden, that they want Obama administration officials to stay there.
Right.
I am saying that if you listen to what he's saying, there is a certain amount of, one, his tone of voice is perfect. He's a consummate politician.
He's
he knows
statesman.
Exactly how. Yeah, exactly. This is how we're supposed to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta know to just not be a dick. Like, all Biden was saying was don't be a dick and be good at your job.
Basically. So
how can you be angry at that?
I don't know. Alex launched into a fucking perv fantasy.
Yeah.
So
that's how
I told you earlier that there were two instances where Alex fucked up on, that we're going
to
talk about.
Yeah, we got to the one where he admitted that he had been, taking orders directly from Putin and the Kremlin.
And sort of sold out Roger Stone a little bit.
Absolutely.
Now, one of our friends has, assigned us, one of our wonks has assigned us a, tour through history.
Okay.
Gave me a date in the past.
Uh-huh.
And I started listening to the wrong year.
Uh-oh.
I found the date, but I listened to the wrong year. And it's a good thing I did so. Because on May 3rd of 2011, I found this clip. Now, you might be asking yourself, what happened on May 3rd, 2011?
That was 5 days before my birthday.
Don't worry about it. It was the day after Obama announced that they'd killed Osama bin Laden.
Oh, okay.
So, in this clip, Alex is...
I was about to say 9/11.
After Obama killed 9/11.
Yep.
In this clip, Alex talks about the response that he's seeing in some neoconservative thinkers and some people who were previously against Obama.
Right.
Here's this clip, and let's see how different Alex Jones was just a nigh on 6 years ago.
And I heard neocons on the radio going, I kind of like Obama. I saw that photo of him launching the attack in there. He's looking a little better to me. I'm kind of liking government health care now. Boy. Because it's that tribalism when your leader, the chief, says, the other tribe is coming. We got to get together or they're going to kill us men. This is what every culture does. Take our women and children to make their tribe bigger and stronger and use them as lower class slaves in their system. We're ingrained that when we're told an enemy's coming, we're told we're under attack to get together to fight. That's what humans do.
So, Alex Jones just explained the tendency in humans that he exploits on a daily basis.
Yeah.
In 2011, it's very clear that he knows that when you paint someone out to be the enemy and say that they're going to kill the men and take the women as slaves and attack the children, that it's your natural human response.
Do you mean like take the children and just be all pedophile on them?
And snatch them from the backyards, because what the globalists want to do.
Of course.
I even have a clip of it from the 19th, from October 19th, 2017. Here's a clip of him talking exactly like what he's accusing people of feeling about Obama.
They are your sworn enemy. They are the diseased brain of the globalists, hell-bent on destroying culture for absolute, complete domination. They are so mentally ill and so incredibly competitive that they see your prosperity as evil. They don't see overall prosperity as their collective prosperity.
Describe prosperity.
They see it
once.
As a horrible affront to them. That's why they push collectivism that we've seen ravage every country that ever tried it. And here we are, 100 years into the great experiment of Marxist-Leninist ideology.
Oh, okay.
And 220 plus million dead we know of at the hands of communism. Fascism and all other governmental exterminations we know of are only another 60 million.
Wait. You had already paused that before. You were like,
Jordan's not going to like that. No, I was like,
Jordan's not going to like him saying, wait a second. Fascism is way less bad than communism, and then lump socialism in there with him, because they don't fucking know what words mean. Doesn't explain what prosperity is, because he doesn't know what it fucking actually means. Doesn't know that fascism isn't that bad.
No, he's right.
Only
human history has killed 60 million people, which I at least think that means he's just talking about the Holocaust.
He wants some light fascism.
Right. At least it's not Holocaust denial at this point. It's just every other denial. That's all fascism has ever done.
Hey, think about it this way. Holocaust, lesser of two evils.
He actually does think that.
I agree.
Compared to like Stalin and Mao.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly, Stalin and Mao did have a higher body count.
It's true.
Now, the idea of calling that a communist government is fucking stupid. Communism is an economic system. Mm-hmm. The government that they had was...
Authoritarian?
Uh-huh. What's another way? There you go!
Yeah. It's dumb. Alex is dumb.
Fucking stupid. I hate these people.
But anyway, they're your sworn enemies.
You can't compare communism and fascism. Those are not inconsistent with each other, mm-hmm. and they are not the same fucking thing.
No.
Like, that's one of the brilliant things that they did in the Cold War, is they portrayed it as communism that was the issue, not their horrifying fascist government. Mm-hmm. Like, even Orwell, the idea that he's, he's describing how communism has the flaw of eventual, some are more equal than others.
Right.
What else does that turn into as a government, though, is fascism. Mm-hmm. All of Animal Farm was a fascist dictatorship growing out of people fucking over other people.
Mm-hmm.
Very frustrating.
Right.
These people are stupid.
Which can spring out of capitalism just as easily.
Well, clearly.
Yeah. So anyway, the rest...
It can spring out of anywhere where income inequality is the... Not just...
This severe.
Is the driving force of everything.
Yeah. I had to pause there.
Like, some are more equal than others, and it doesn't get more obvious than that than now.
Right.
Whenever we have fucking billionaires who are unafraid of nuclear war because they're going to get their fucking tax cuts.
They have armored redoubts.
Unbelievable.
So anyway, the context of this, again, in case you forgot, was that Alex... he knows.
I love it when you pre-remind me what's going on
after
I go on to a weird rant.
It's just him exploiting that trick that he described in 2011.
Absolutely.
Communism accounts for over 80% of death by government in the last 100 years since the luscious, in the eyes of the globalist,
can you get some numbers to back that up for me?
Anti-Christian, anti-family, anti-God bloodbath, orgy of carnage and death that is the great vampiric red terror suckling on the blood of your children. That's who they are.
So there we go.
40% off on,
No, 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 not this time.
Yeah.
But like that's it. That's that. I mean, that's what he's doing. He described the trick 6 years ago on air, and he's been doing it, with great, effect since.
Absolutely.
He's exploiting that, that natural fear and natural, desire to fight back and band together. He's created a community out of it.
And
it's a community based on fear and hate.
Yeah. In 2011, he does wind up making a very, whether or not he means to, but a very great point about our government, which is that
militaristic.
Nothing brings everybody together like dropping a bomb or murdering somebody.
Right.
Everybody in DC gets a huge hard on when they murder somebody.
This goes back to like, the thing that I talk about a bit about how he's a different person than he was years ago.
Yeah.
Like you can see these glimmers of like much, much closer to rational, human.
Absolutely.
And I know that like the chat room loves to fucking come down on me anytime I say someone's reasonable, but like past Alex Jones is much closer to that in the sense that even what you're describing,
yeah,
he's making a fair point.
No, I mean,
to some degree,
immediately now, after Trump dropped the mother of all bombs, everybody was like, now he's presidential, and you're like, fucking kill us all.
Right.
There's
right.
No point.
So
if you guys are going to suck his dick after he drops every bomb, fuck you.
It's going to be a bad
It's going to be time. A bad run.
Yeah. So at this point in the episode here on the 19th, Alex pivots and gets into talking a ton about Hollywood. And in this clip, he starts by describing the sort of tiered layers of depravity that are in okay. Hollywood, and then gets weird.
So it goes from the heterosexual to the homosexual to the pedophilia, and then it's human sacrifice, torture, death, murder. And they prime people with things like 50 Shades of Grey and all this to get people into it, thinking it's avant-garde.
Says the
but finally, the 10th or 15th time you're in that dungeon and didn't tell anybody where you were going, once you've been, you know, running around with a bunch of folks and they think they've got you where they want you, they're not going to let you out of those ropes. You're going to be down there for a couple weeks if you're lucky, maybe a few months. So they might keep you for a couple of years in a dungeon.
I feel like you have somebody.
They're going to come in and laugh at you with the bones sticking out of your side, begging for your mommy. And just finally, when you become a gibbering, wailing person, finally, when they hear you making happy noises, totally mentally ill, totally broken, they're going to say, get that slab of crap out of here and throw it in the river. They're going to open an acid bath up and dunk you in there. Hollywood doesn't like it when I tell you this. Hollywood is a spider hole for devil worshipers to get your young daughters and sons out there so they can rape them and torture them to death.
So again, he's exploiting.
So protect the women and children.
He's exploiting the trick again.
They are your enemy.
That's all he does. When you really break it down, when you start to see, like, the problem that he has is that all of these things that he's said over the years are on record.
Right.
So when we take that clip from 2011, we're aware that he knows that this is a trick people can employ.
Yep.
He's cognizant of it. It's not like he's forgotten in the last 6 years, this awareness that like, oh, you can really, really get to people.
Yeah.
You can fuck with them and get them to change a lot of their beliefs if they think that their loved ones are threatened.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
Yeah. It really makes all this very disingenuous.
It's almost like in 2011, he pointed that out and like a light bulb went off in his head. He was like, oh, no wonder people aren't listening enough to me.
Right.
I'm not exploiting their fears, duh.
Buckley, write it down.
Yeah.
Write this down, Buckley. Scare people.
No one's ever written that down before, Buckley. That's a completely original idea.
I'm the greatest.
Ah.
Now spin the wheels of steel. Just a,
and get that lady out of my basement.
Periodic
please.
Throw
Buckley,
her in an acid
come
bath.
Come on, throw her in an acid bath already.
Periodic reminder that Buckley is also a DJ, apparently. So anyway, in this next clip, Alex uses the trick some more.
There's some type of demon energy in the universe that enters into people and always manifests this from a sociological, archaeological point. It's a known fact. We're facing
yes,
hordes of
archaeologists have discovered demon energy.
And we're, he's like,
that's famously an issue with archaeologists all the time.
Totally.
I saw Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Demon energy is all over the place.
The enemies, Alex Jones's enemies, are demon beings, and there's a horde of Satan worshippers that he's up against.
Yeah.
It's dehumanizing of your opposition.
Yeah, definitely don't speak to them. Definitely don't learn from them.
Kill them
Make
on
sure
sight.
That they are dead.
Yeah. Kill them on sight. They're devil
worshippers. The only way we're going to get back to prosperity is if we kill all the devil worshippers.
And you know the devil worshippers because they disagree with Alex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they are not heterosexuals.
No, which is at the top.
Which is at the top.
Then homosexual, then pedophile, then death cult, I guess.
Yeah.
Very weird. So in this next clip, Alex reveals, so on a recent episode, he revealed that in a meeting with a Hollywood executive, he was sexually assaulted. Which, again, we're not making fun of, but I will make fun of this. He has another, discussion about a meeting with a Hollywood executive that is less believable and, dumb.
Where he sexually assaults him?
No.
Okay.
But, Mark Dice does get involved.
Oh boy.
The devil can take a big old jump in the lake, as they say. Yeah, Katy Perry says she sold her soul to the devil. And they don't just do that to act cool. I've been in Hollywood and I've had people ask me, hey, the devil isn't that bad. Lucifer isn't that bad. All you got to do is renounce Christ, and you're going to be a very, very rich man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I never told that story until Mark Dice told it.
So we'll get back to Mark Dice.
I haven't told that lie until Mark Dice lied about it.
We'll get back to Mark Dice's story here in a second. But, like, Alex has told this, like, a couple times on air. Like, he'll go to a party in Hollywood. And he'll be like, I was at this party and then, someone would come up to me and be like, hey, we're about to worship Satan, so you should get out of here if you don't want to be involved.
I like the idea that in the meeting with a Hollywood executive, he's like, listen, I love your pitch.
Baby.
We're going to green light it.
Your money.
Devil ain't that bad. Devil ain't that bad. You ever worship Lucifer?
Lucifer's pretty cool.
Not bad guy.
Yeah, he's got he's very generous. He's a good golfer.
Loves you, so long as you don't tell him to go jump in a lake.
Just got to renounce God.
Doesn't like water.
No. the very idea that you would be at a party and someone's like, look, dude, we're about to worship Satan. You got to get out of here. My first instinct would be like, first of all, I'm staying.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not. I don't have to worship Satan. I still could be around and see. Like, my second thought is they want me out of here. Like, I'm a buzzkill.
Yeah.
This party, it would be better without me. Yeah. They're just fucking with me to get me to leave.
I am now, I have not been to a party in such a long time.
It's been a while.
Two, the next party I go to, I'm going to be like, hey, dude, we're about to worship the devil, so
if you
make your decision now.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Gonna get hot.
Yeah. He also has some stories about, like, we're about to bring some kids out or something like that. It's like, you're just making this up.
We're about to bring some
kids. He's just making shit up about weird Hollywood parties he's been to or misrepresenting someone trying to get rid of him.
Right.
I think the latter is probably more likely. Anyway, let's hear what happened to Mark Dice.
Mark Dice is there at one of the biggest reality TV show companies in the world. They're offering him his show,
Project
one of the lead members of Motley Crue.
Probably Tommy Lee, I guess. Vince Neil? Nikki Sixx?
And he's in there alone with the head producer, the head of the company. And the guy looks at him and he says, you know what? I like the devil, and I worship the devil. And Lucifer's God. And if you'll just tell me that you worship Lucifer, I'm going to give you this job. Mark Dice wouldn't worship Lucifer.
Good for him.
So he didn't get a stupid reality show. Who wants it? I've been on the shows and have to worship the devil. Who cares?
Good for you, Mark.
Having
a real
in-depth discussion with you, being able to really long-form break things down, really talking about what's happening, is so much better than being in some decadent, dirty megacity with a bunch of soulless people.
I got bad news for you, Alex. You do not break things down long form.
No.
You have a very warped view of what your show is.
You can't even listen to Joe Biden talk for 30 seconds.
Not even 2 seconds.
No, that's true.
Jesus. You're just a distracted ball of bullshit.
Yeah.
Good on you. Good on you. You're making money. Anyway, I just kept this next clip in because
it's not true. I know. But let's just workshop this.
Okay.
All right.
So should I be the executive?
I don't know if we even need to do that. I just need to figure out what is your lead in to we're going to worship the devil.
So in this show, Tommy Lee is going to pretend to go back to college.
Okay.
And you want to say it?
I am Mark Dice.
That's actually too...
I am actually into Satan.
That's too dynamic of a voice you're doing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The thing is, like, there's what, this is nitpicking a little bit, but the owner of the company, the biggest reality show company in the world...
Talking to Mark Dice.
Also is the producer of this show. It seems unlikely that that would be the same person.
You gotta get in, you gotta get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
I didn't start the largest reality TV show production company in the world to not get involved.
Right. And I did it just 2 years later. Fuck with Mark Dice.
That'd be funny.
Let's start a reality show company. That's where this has got to go.
We got to have a reality show called Fucking with Mark Dice.
Oh, we got, let's move to LA.
Absolutely. I'm up for worshiping some devil.
It'd be great if like Alex had a story like this for all of his employees. The one time Owen Troyer was tempted.
Oh man. Jerome Corsi, he's working in DC, who wrote this long article about how, Joe Biden came up to him one night and he was like, listen, I think it's important that we honor social norms, and I think basic competency at your job is only really achievable if you worship the devil.
Oh, my God. Also, a little fun fact about Jerome Corsi, if there are any. in trying to find that article that Alex keeps referencing, or it was referencing,
yeah.
I searched Infowars.com for Jerome Corsi, and one of the things that came up was an article from September, I don't remember what month actually, it was 2011, and in it, Jerome Corsi was making the argument that Donald Trump was working with Obama. The entire birther thing was a setup, and Donald Trump was making a big deal out of it just so Obama could come out with and destroy the entire narrative, when the truth is... Yeah, actually, I mean, it is all fake. There's a fake birth certificate. So Donald Trump was in on it as a setup.
Okay.
They need to take that stuff off the website.
Okay. If I understand this correctly.
Right.
Trump knew, or Obama has a fake birth certificate.
Right.
Not from here.
Yes.
He and Trump get to talking.
Right.
And Obama's like, here's the only way that I'm going to get away with this.
I need cover.
I need you, noted lunatic Donald Trump.
Right.
To pretend that you're a racist,
mm-hmm.
which we both know can't be true.
No evidence of that.
And claim that my birth certificate isn't real.
Right.
That way I can go on TV and say that it is real.
Yep.
And no one will believe you, Donald Trump.
That's basically what Jerome Corsi's arguing.
Gotcha.
So he has a good history.
Speaking of which.
And also he claims to be friends with Trump for like the last 40 years. Which seems to fly in the face of him making that kind of an accusation just 6 years ago.
Purely objective standpoint, how's Corsi's writing? Is he any good?
No. I mean, it's fine. He's competent.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's.
Do you mean he can spell?
No bells and whistles, I'll say that. Speaking of bells and whistles, though, I kept
God damn it, what a great transition.
I kept this clip in just because he does my favorite voice. It's a short clip, but it's my favorite voice.
You're going to enjoy it, so just come on down here, sweetheart. You're going to like it, because you're going to float, too. it's so liberal.
Although maybe it's real, because he does love...
All the big feminist leaders said we shouldn't have families. That hurts women. We should have the trannies teach the three-year-olds. It's liberal.
Liberal.
Families are bad. Stick your arm in this drainage ditch.
The voice is just...
Families are bad.
The voice that I
Stick
like
Stick your arm in this drainage
It's
ditch.
More It the Clown stuff, ever, as he would say.
You ever hear about
stuff.
The devil?
Pennywise asked him, you into the devil?
Oh, I was walking by a sewer grate the other day.
Right. There's Pennywise, an executive down there.
Pennywise, who is the executive of the largest reality TV Absolutely. Show production company.
Yeah, the voice that I like that I was referencing is the liberal. I just like that.
Liberal. Oh, man.
So now we get into something that is a little bit, maybe slightly uncomfortable. Maybe not. I don't know. Millie Weaver comes on.
Yes.
And one of the reasons that she comes on is that she was, the way she phrases it is exploited and sexually assaulted when she
By
was
Alex Jones.
When she was an actress in Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Before she came to InfoWars.
Right. Well, then I believe her.
Sure.
Yeah,
and they talk about it a little bit, and I don't want to get into it because I, you know, generally don't like her work, and I don't want to say anything negative about
nope.
that. I support her and I feel empathic, but yeah. Be that as it may, she has an interesting take on abuse in Hollywood.
Yeah. And if Ann Coulter came out and said that she was sexually assaulted, which she worked at Fox News, so...
She wouldn't work there. She was a contributor.
She went to the office. Fair. I imagine the moment you walk in.
Fair enough.
But yeah, if she comes out and says so, I believe her and I think that's awful.
Sure.
But you can still be a fucking horrific person.
Agreed. So here I have three clips, where she lays out a very clunky solution, to the abuse in Hollywood. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Oh no.
The media is trying to do in hijacking these celebrity women's abuses by telling all women that, see, this is all a problem of masculinity. It's all men's fault. Men are the bad guys in general. Yes. When in reality, you have a handful of predatory type men out there. And what needs to happen with the real men out there, the good hearted men out there, they need to, instead of saying, oh, well, you know, okay, and try to disinvalidate it by saying, you know, these women, maybe they're asking for it, maybe they're trading for their career or whatever. No, the real men need to say, you know what? We're going to take on these women's plight. We're going to fight these predatory, disgusting.
And then that way the leftists can't be the gatekeepers, just they control the environmental movement, but want to tax carbon dioxide.
So, no, of course. So, the problem is that men aren't fighting for women and forcing them to again stay silent in the background.
Well, there's an element of that in there. And the only thing I really want to pull out of there really specifically is that Alex, one of his immediate reactions was, you know what you're getting into in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So whenever she's talking about the real men shouldn't blame the women or anything like that.
She is not talking about Alex Jones.
Alex is sitting right there. He has said all that stuff.
Yep.
Except for he stopped just short of what are they wearing?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So let me play the next clip before you react she sort of
is it going to get much worse?
Yeah,
that right there, she's not doing a good job of speaking English.
There is a point in there that is reasonable.
Yeah,
it falls by the wayside.
You know what she did? She combined hashtag not all men with a good point, which is that it is by a lot of silent complicity that powerful men get away with this bullshit.
Yeah, it's a system.
Yeah.
But she then is falling back on it's just a couple of bad eggs.
You're right.
Kind of thing.
Exactly.
But
hashtag not all men.
Her take on it is, like I said, it as she reiterates it, it gets worse.
Exactly. If you want to take down feminism, because feminism is vile, it's repulsive, it's all about man-hating, and I will not stand
for it. And it's all about weird technocrat women controlling women.
Exactly.
If you don't have a husband that's there to defend you and help you, and you help him, the state's your husband.
Exactly. The women are forced to go to these feminist women that hate men for help, rather than going to the real men in society, the men that can actually stand up and say, we're going to come after the Harvey Weinsteins. We're going to come after these sick predators that want to do this to women.
So
what you're saying is, it's not men who are the problem. It's men who are the problem.
Right, right. And it's women for not relying on men.
Yeah. It's almost as though women have been burned so many times in the past, they find it difficult to rely on men, seeing as how men in their lives have so often proved themselves to be unreliable.
Interesting. Interesting take. So now let's get to this last enumeration of her sort of perspective. And this one's actually...
Which is dumb and inconsistent and doesn't make any fucking sense.
And I think what she's espousing here in this last one is actually really, really dangerous advice.
Oh, no.
But we'll see.
You know, and it kind of reminds me of this story that Gavin told me about his grandpa and how times used to be versus how they are now. You know, they're putting all these chemicals in the water to try and lower sperm counts. But, you know, I want to talk about his grandpa. Apparently one of their neighbors was kept beating his wife. Okay. And the men kept finding out, and Gavin's grandpa kept finding out through the wives. The wives would keep complaining, you know, this guy, he keeps beating our friend so-and-so. He's beating his wife. And you know what they did? They went over there with guns, and they beat him up and said, if you ever put your hand on this woman again, we will mess you up bad. And you know what? He stopped, and the women stopped complaining. Their wives stopped complaining, and they didn't need feminism.
Because men acted like men.
Men acted like men. And nowadays, it's like the guy's beating up the woman. The women are all hearing the other women complain, and the men aren't doing anything. So what do? They go to the feminists who are going to try to demonize all men.
Who are actually more like madams.
So.
Okay.
You know, in the real world.
So they do understand that both men are acting, are violent.
Right.
And that is an issue.
Well, two negatives make a positive.
I think if you multiply them, but that's not how,
Well, and also the, you know, situations like this generally end in the battered wife getting killed.
Yeah.
That's usually how this escalates. It doesn't usually work that, like, a physically violent, abusive man gets beat up by other men, and then he's like, oh, I've realized the error of my ways.
Yeah, no kidding.
That doesn't work. It doesn't
clearly
happen like that.
Violence is the answer. If violence worked the first time and then I got violenced on.
Right.
Violence doesn't, wait.
Quite frankly, like, what she's espousing could get someone, like, killed.
How many mass shooters have history of domestic violence?
Almost
fucking all
of
them.
Yeah.
That is so.
It's such a bad take.
And it reveals exactly the issue again, which is she even said it. The women kept complaining.
And then once they beat the guy up, the women stopped complaining.
Kept complaining.
Right.
Which means they had to complain a lot, which means that the men once again did not believe them, and she got beaten up even more.
Right.
And then once they beat the fuck out of that guy, they stopped complaining, which I'm sure had nothing to do with the fact that maybe they got retaliated on.
You know what she's basically saying, like, the best system for dealing with this stuff is? It's a Nickelback song. They have a song called Never Again that is just that. Like, the Chad Kroeger is singing about living downstairs from a lady that's getting beat.
And
so he goes up and he kicks the guy's ass.
I don't need another reason to hate Nickelback.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is Nickelback song lyric level of analysis of a real world problem.
It's the most scathing criticism I have ever heard.
You're welcome.
This is Nickelback level stupidity.
Yeah. And they're not even trying to, like, do a political show.
No.
They're singing.
They're just trying to be good old Canadian white men.
Just trying to play state fairs.
Yeah.
So
who among us is not?
I'm sorry, province fairs. They're
from Canada. Speaking of which, Illinois, we will do a live knowledge fight at the state fair.
Sure. I will take a
deep fried butter.
Yeah. So we have one more clip here, and this one, Alex reveals that one of the hosts of The View wanted to fuck him. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I believe him.
It's got to be Whoopi.
It's not Elizabeth Hasselbeck. I'll tell you that.
Famous feminist, and they, even though they're old women, they actually hit on you. I mean, I'll just say it because they put Joy Behar image on Twitter, grabbing a man's genitals without asking. I mean, she didn't do that, but I was on CNN with her too, not just The View, and she's like, "You're a good-looking young man. Hey, well, how long are you in New York?" And she didn't go all the way, but it was like the famous madam in the movie, like, "Hey, baby, why don't you come up here and see me sometime?" And for an older woman, I mean, she was definitely putting it on and wasn't joking. Well, I'm not going to say arrest her because she grabbed a guy's genitals. You know, the point is, the next time he said stop, though, then it would be rape if she continued. But it just shows what a bunch of hypocrites they are.
Exactly, and I have actually met and been told about and was in circles with people who are like, oh yeah, that's so-and-so, she's a madam, and the madams have tried to come and talk
and to again me, you got a lot of women that just have that madam spirit as well for the powerful men. We're going to go to break, come back with more just briefly, folks.
If you don't financially
support us, you're not supporting the tip of the spear. We got great products you need, great specials going. The globalists want to shut us down. They're obsessed with demonizing our products all over national television because they're so good. They're so high quality.
That's why. Also, a nice reminder that it recently was found that two of his products, both the bone broth, the caveman, and Myco ZX, have levels of lead that are unacceptable in the state of California.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good. I like how awful they're, like, she was an older woman interested in sex.
Yeah.
What?
She's a madam.
Jesus.
Joy Behar did not want to fuck you, Alex.
Could anybody be... It's hard to imagine more misogynist people than those at InfoWars.
It's just all around gross.
Yeah.
Just gross.
Exactly.
So
that weird sex dungeon fantasy, I don't... I really don't
feel comfortable
with that. It
comes from a real place.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And even beyond that, it is just that 2011 trick that he described.
Yeah.
Even no matter what, it's just a manifestation of this. I'm trying to scare you about your supposed enemies.
Yeah.
And so, like, what we come away from this with is Alex blew it in terms of the timeline of his narrative about Hillary Clinton trying to deflect from their Russia shit
right.
by accusing
right.
these folks of Russia
Seeing
shit.
Seeing as how he did that.
He started it.
Yeah.
Long before Trump.
No, you started it.
Right. Unfortunately, history bears out that our side of this is correct. And
that
has
not helped us yet.
And it won't.
Being correct is only damaging us, really.
Quite frankly, it turns people off.
Yeah.
well. Anyway, if you'd like to find out more about the show, we have a website, knowledgefight.com.
Yeah, posted a new blog today. Then you can follow us on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight.
That's correct. We're also on Facebook.
You can go to iTunes, leave a review, give us, like, nice words.
Sure.
I like nice words.
Rip it. I give it a B.
That's not
minus.
Too bad. Oh. You know who else gets a B minus? Dan?
Hold on.
We got another plug?
Yeah, we're on, thank you to everybody who's watching on Twitch. We are on here, recording live Monday through Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Central. Please come along and join us. We do appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. If you'd like to support the show, we do have a button on, knowledgefight.com says support the show. Also, patreon.com/knowledgefight is the direct link. We would appreciate it because I'm not going to have a job in a week.
Nope.
I need your help. To find nuggets like that. To find nuggets like Alex Jones talked to Russian intelligence.
Right.
To find nuggets like Larry Nichols straight up blackmailing Congress.
Right.
To find this instance of their timeline being completely fucked up.
And to discover that archaeologists have always known about demon energy.
Demons!
Demons!
Right. I'm sure you got that from Steve Quayle.
Yeah.
The guy who studies
giants. Or the Simpsons episode where they found an angel.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yep.
But you know who's not an angel.
You did so much better than me.
It was this old asshole.
Fucking quit.
I'm just asshole, dude. He's old.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And you know what?
Let me ask you a question,
Dan. He's going to die soon.
How does he feel about the devil?
You know what he thinks about the devil?
What?
He thinks that he knows.
He knows.
That the devil is a-coming for him.
Okay.
He knows that. And
he's still trying to say, go jump in the lake, devil.
But he knows that before the devil gets his hands on him,
okay.
He's going to have to die. And when he dies, may the wolf choke on his flesh. But still, go fuck yourself, John Rappaport.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.